As you guys know, Rosh Hashanah is next Shabbos. And then for the Esrei Metzuvah, so one of the may there are many changes in Tefillah, two in the brachot themselves, and then there's the four Gaonic additions. What are the two changes in the brachot themselves? Hamishvat, right from Melech Ha'Yivtzak and no, in the bracha itself. And a Melech HaKadosh, right? A Kala Kadosh becomes a Melech HaKadosh. And then there's the four Gaonic additions, which are Zachreinu, Michamocha, Uchtov L'chaim Tovim, etc. Okay, so how many of you are self-identifying Ashkenazim? Not you. I was guessing. I was guessing. I didn't want to get,
well,
but...
Look, I'm Ashkenaz. My dad's Ashkenaz. I'm fully Ashkenaz, but I don't do Ashkenaz.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. This isn't like I'm at this is right. So important. So growing up, what were you taught about what happens when you forget Hakel HaKadosh or for which one? For Hakel HaKadosh. What about Melech HaMishpat?
I wouldn't.
You don't repeat it, right? That's what you were taught growing up, right? Yeah, I think most of us were learned that growing up. What? Where did that come from? Whose position is that? What? Well, we're going to see what we do. I'm asking you what you grew up with. But in general, I think most of you grew up, you don't repeat. Because you already, and you already said a melech or something like that, right? What were you taught since you follow, you don't follow Ashkenazim? So you were taught the Ashkenazi Pesach anyways. Okay, so we're going to see where that comes from. But I want to do is, I'll present it as you probably heard it, but then I want to... Right, but then I wanted to see how it emerges from the sugya. Okay, so the basic introduction to this, like the summary of the halacha, as you have in Shulchan Aruch, is Baseret Yimei Tshuva Omer Hamelech Hakadosh Hamelech Hamishpat V'im Ta'a Oshu Misupak Im Hu BeHamelech Hakadosh Chozer LeRosh Melech Hamishpat Im Nizkar Kodem Sharkar Aglav Chozer LeBirkat Hashiva Shofteinu V'Omer Misham VeElach Al Haseder V'Im Lo Nizkar Ad Sharkar Aglav Chozer LeRosh. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that what? If you forget HaMelech HaKadosh, so if you forget, then you start from the beginning again. And HaMelech HaMishpat. So as long as you haven't finished one Esrei, you go back to the bracha, meaning you have to be Chozer. So fundamentally, he thinks the halacha is the same. You have to go back. The difference is that by the three brachot, the first three brachot are part of a unit, and therefore whenever you have to go back to anything, the first three brachot, you have to go to the beginning of the unit, and since that's one, two, and three, what's the beginning of one? Is zero, right? As you're starting from the beginning again. And HaMelech HaMishpat, as long as you haven't finished one Esrei, you go back to the bracha, you have to repeat it. So according to Shulchan Aruch, is there any fundamental distinction between these two? Both of them, if you forget them, you must go back. But that's the position of Shulchan Aruch.
No, I said if we say Vishamru, Vishamru, like after Shema.
What does that do?
No, I'm just saying you don't repeat. Some people say you don't repeat if you forget to say Hamelach.
It's not part of Shema, so you wouldn't repeat it anyways.
No. I'm just saying in general. If you say Vishamru and you forget to say
In Shmona Esrei.
No, not Shmona Esrei. I mean after Shema. You know how on Friday they say Vishamru?
You're talking about Be'ina Brachot when they say at the end of that bracha you say
Amen. That
right
before. Oh, right, and not in
Shmona.
That part. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll leave that on the side. But yeah, that is relevant. But let's focus on Shmona Esrei, right? Now in Hilchot Tavkuf in Aruch Chaim Tavkuf Pei Bet, which is Hilchot Aser Dimei Tshuva, the Ramah doesn't comment. And the Ramah doesn't comment. However, if you look at number two, and this is Siman Kuf Yudchet, this is Hilchot Tefillah. So Hashiva Shavteinu Chotem BaMelech Oyev Tzedakah UMishpat. Shulchan Aruch says that you finish the bracha, the king who loves justice and righteousness and justice. Now the Ramah pipes in. He says, "Miu, im amar melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat ein tzarich lachzor. If you said, and the second one, you said, melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, you didn't change it, you don't go back. V'lo amru she'achzor makom she'kol ha'shana omrim ha'kel ha'ohev tzedakah u'mishpat. He says the only place where they say that you go back were places that had a different custom to begin with, which was that the entire year they didn't say, they said, Hakel Oev Tzako Mishpat. There was a different girsa that certain communities had in the Bracha Vashir Shofteinu. And what's the basic logic of the Ramah? That as long as you said the word Melech, you're good. So as long since our the standard text of our Shmona Esrei is that you say Melech, so you don't go back even if you forgot it, okay? That's probably how we, you know, most Ashkenazim learn the Ramah, and therefore you forget a Kalakadosh, you go back, you learn a Melech, you forget a Melech Mishpat, but you don't go back. What I want to do is figure out whether that, where that emerges from the halacha and whether it's correct. Yeah.
Is there a reason why you didn't say it twice, or was it just like you said it the first time?
I assume it's because you said it the first time. I mean, I presented it in backwards order, but yes, right? Meaning in Hilchot Tefillah.
He doesn't write things twice. Like,
not usually. I mean, sometimes he might, but here, right, in Hilchot Tefillah, he said it. He doesn't say it later on. I don't know what you can prove from it. But let's read the Gemara very carefully, okay? Let's see if this makes sense, okay? So let's, if all we get through today now is the Gemara, that will be fine. But I want to read it very carefully with you. Amar Rabba, well, actually, someone else want to read? Someone brave? Not so brave, because I gave you the translation, so there's a level of brave. Yeah, go. What? Okay, this is still the Gemara. I gave you translation for the Gemara. After that, Okay, so far, what does he say?
The whole year, a person says Halakadosh and Malchay Tzaka Mishpat, except for the Sagi Mechuva, where you say Halakadosh and Malchay Mishpat.
Okay, good. Everyone knows that. That's good, right? We all agree? Good. We all agree, right? The rest of the year, you say, except for Sarah Mechuva, fine.
Rabbi Elazar Amar, Afilo Amar Halakadosh Yatsa, Shana Amar, Vayigba Hashem Tzvaot, B'mishpat, V'Halakadosh Nikdash B'tzdaka.
Okay, so Elazar says that even if you said Akela Kadosh, you're Yotze. During the Sarah Mechuva, you're Yotze. Good, hold the thought, right? Let's read the Gemara very carefully and see what emerges. But so far he says, if during a Sarah Mechuva you say Hakela Kadosh, you are Yotze. Okay, and what's his source? Because the pasuk says Vayigba Hashem Tzvakot B'Mishpat, that God is exalted through justice. Vakel Hakadosh, and the God of the Holy God Nikdash B'Tzaka is sanctified in righteousness. And then the Gemara says Eimatai Vayigba Hashem Tzvakot B'Mishpat. And when is the time in the year when God is specifically identified as being exalted in justice? And what name, what appellation is given to God at that time? No. Look at his proof. Vikomar Hakel HaKadosh. And the pasuk says, Kale, which shows you that.
You could say it on the site, like it's
Mechuvah. That even a Sarah Mechuvah, even the theme is Mishpat, Hakel is still right. So now, according to Rabbi, simple pshat, according to Rabbi Elazar, what's the halacha? If you forget, Hakel HaKadosh. Do you repeat Shmona Esrei?
No.
If you forget HaMelech HaMishpat, do you repeat Shmona Esrei?
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Yes. Right. So far we have the right. Rabbi Elazar says, right. Which so we all grew up saying that which is more machmir, which is more stringent, Hakel HaKadosh. If you forget it, you go back. HaMelech HaKadosh. Right. Except you read the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar says there is a difference between HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. Except which one is which? Which one do you repeat for, according to Elazar? Melech Mishpat, and not a Melech HaKadosh. Good. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "My Havi Allah." Who do we paskin like? Now, what's the implication, by the way, according to the first Shita? So, according to the Tanakhama, what's the implication?
You go back on both.
You go back for both, right? You go back for both, probably. What's the other possibility?
What we were taught.
No, that's where would you get anything from that in the Gemara?
Or you just continue that.
Good, but that's not what I want you to do. I want you to read the Gemara. I want you to see how halacha works from the beginning. Good. So, what's the other possibility? We know that Rabbi Elazar's shita is that you go back for Hamelech HaMishpat and not for HaMelech HaKadosh. Right? What does the Tanakhama hold? Probably Eitan is right that you go back for both. What is the other theoretical possibility?
Neither.
Yeah, that you go back for neither. What is not a possibility at all?
Neither.
No. Well, that he distinguishes. Yeah. And what is not a possibility according to either Shita? That you go back for Hakel HaKadosh and not for Melech HaMishpat. Right, the first Shita probably holds you go back for both. Maybe, as we'll see, holds you go back for neither. Rabbi Elazar thinks that you go back only for HaMelech HaMishpat and not for HaMelech HaKadosh. But so far, nobody has said what the Ramah takes as a given, which is Melech HaKadosh go back, Melech HaMishpat don't go back, right? Am I missing something? Any position like that in the Gemara? No, not at all. Right, now the Gemara says, my Haviela. So now the Gemara says, great, what's the conclusion?
My Haviela, Amar Rav Yosef, Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaYitzak HaMishpat, Rav Amar, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, Vehelchata Kerava.
So Rav Yosef says, you say HaKel HaKadosh, and Melech HaYitzak HaMishpat. What does that mean? So what does it sound like?
Like Rabbi Eliezer?
No. He says, I'm Melech HaYitzak HaMishpat.
Oh, yeah, it's like regular.
So Yosef seems to make it sound like you don't change it at all. So now possibly three in the Gemara is that we don't say either of these changes. All right. Now, what might he mean though? He either says we never say these changes. What's the other way of reading him?
We have to always
do
these changes.
No, he doesn't say that, right? Meaning he says you say Akel HaKadosh HaMelech HaYitzadak HaMishpat. So one possibility is you should. What's the other possibility? No. That's impossible. How would you read that as shouldn't?
If you do it right after, no, right
after. As what?
If you say then you have to go back, maybe?
You don't have to go back. That you can. Right? Meaning, when he says, you say, that either means that l'chatchila there's no change, or theoretically, what else might he mean?
That if you say them, it's okay.
If you say them, it's okay. Right? So now, and then Rabbah says, HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, which means either if the first shita is saying you shouldn't change, then what's he saying?
You should change.
If the first one's saying you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei, if you didn't change, then what would he be saying? You have to repeat Shmona Esrei for both of them. We paskin like Rabbah. So either we paskin that you need to go back for both or that you should say both, but we don't know about repeating, right? There's ambiguity. So the theoretical positions that emerge in the Gemara now are what? Right? Either HaKel HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat are the same, such that you go back for both. Possibly you go back for neither, or possibly l'chatchila you shouldn't change either. The only shita that distinguishes between them is Rabbi Elazar, and he says that HaMelech HaMishpat is more stringent than HaMelech HaKadosh. That HaMelech HaYitzadak HaMishpat. If you say that, you go back. You're supposed to say HaMelech HaMishpat, and if you say HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, you don't go back. Okay, so that means there's many possibilities in the Gemara. The one possibility that's not in the Gemara at all is the one we all grew up with, right? It is the Ramah, right? We agreed? Not there. It's not there at all. At all. So good. How do we get there?
Find a different Gemara that says the opposite.
Yeah, you wish. That'd be nice. But there isn't actually one. Good. That would be a good methodological direction, but guess what? There is no such Gemara. This is it. So if you didn't know the Ramah, now I asked you to paskin. Okay, now imagine you didn't know the Ramah. Would you like to paskin for us?
I would say that we follow paskin local rabbi.
You are the local rabbi. I deem you rabbi for now. Paskin.
I say we say Melech HaMishpat.
And Melech HaMishpat and HaMelech HaKadosh. Good. And would you repeat Shmona Esrei if you forgot them?
Yeah, because
good. Good. You repeat my right? That's what it sounds like in the Gemara, right? It sounds like Rabbah says, you say Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMishpat, Vehilchot HaKarabah. We paskin like it, right? This isn't so complicated, right? If you didn't know the Ramah, I think most of us would have read the Gemara and said, you're supposed to change it, like Shulchan Aruch. Very good. Like Shulchan Aruch. It's a crazy psak. It's the psak that's found in Shulchan Aruch, right? Like, if I ask you now, good, if I ask you, Eitan, justify Shulchan Aruch, you would say, what justify Shulchan Aruch? A simple pshat of Gemara.
How come he doesn't say go back to, like, the first Bakasha instead of Ashivenu.
So that's just a general rule in the Bakasha, that whenever there's a mistake in the Bakasha, you don't have to go back to Atachone. You go back to the bracha you made a mistake. And that's just a general rule. That's just a general rule. That's a general rule because the Gemara says. So basically, the Gemara says that the bakashot right of the brachot emtziot ain't lahem seder. Right, Dan. The Gemara says that the brachot emtziot ain't lahem seder, and it's a machloket. Rashi tells us what ain't lahem seder means. Does that mean that lechatchila there's no seder? Meaning, the middle brachot you can say in whatever order you want, right? Which is Rashi's position. You can say it however you want. You could say v'lam malshinim, and then ashivenu, and then you know shmakolenu, and then. Whatever, you can do whatever you want. Tosfot says that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara has a reason for the order. So Tosfot says, no, what it means is that unlike the first three brachot and the last three brachot, where if you make a mistake, you have to repeat the unit, by the middle brachot, you don't have to repeat the unit because it's not one integrated unit. You merely have to go back to where you are. There's an order. It's just not a tight unit. And therefore, you can, in theory, start, if you made a mistake, go back to... wherever you made a mistake, and that's where Tosfot positions come from. Okay? And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says in this case you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei, which means that if you haven't finished Shmoneh Esrei, you go back to that bracha and then continue from there. And if you have gone, if you have already gone to the end, then you simply have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Good. Well, that's the question. So, okay, well, let's figure it out. Right? So, in general, what is the path of Psak? I'll put you on the. What's the path of Psak? Where do we start? No, well, before we get that, right, so we start with the Gemara, and then what do we do? What? Right, you analyze the Gemara, right? You figure out what the Gemara means, right? And then?
You find the most.
And then what do you do, right? So if there's more than one Gemara, so then you try to figure out how the two Gemara work together. If there's seeming contradictions, you have to resolve it. If there's one Gemara, you figure out what the Gemara means, and then, right? Yeah, you look at the commentaries, you figure it out. There's the Rishonim, right? You look at the Rambam, you look at the Torah, you look at the Beit Yosef, right? Like, you want to know basic.
Is Mishnah Torah basically not him
making... Yeah, it's the Rambam, Paschim, basically the Gemara. You could look at the Riff, you could look at the Torah, right? You could look at the, you know, you could look at all the Rishonim, right? Depending on how much depth you want to go through, right? So here, let's look at the Torah, okay? So if we have our basic codes, right? Our basic codes of, right, if you want a code that's going to summarize it. So you have the Rambam, you have the Torah, right? Let's make sure we know basics. I assume everyone knows basics, but I should never assume anything, right? Yeah, I know. Okay, good. So the Rambam, where does the Rambam live? What does he do? Good. So when does he live?
He lived most of his life in Egypt.
That's not a when, but sure. He lived most of his life. That's great. He starts in Spain. His family is chased out by the Almohads. He makes a stop over in Israel, ends up in Fustat.
All I know that
Doctor of the Sultan.
Yes, son of mine. Yeah. What are his famous books? Go ahead. What? Mishnah Torah is his major halachic work. Very good. Moran Nebuchim is his most famous philosophical work. He writes about other things. He writes a Perush Mishnah. He has a bunch of tshuvot and letters. Yeah, he has letters, right? His letters and tshuvot. Some of them are very famous. Very good. When does he live? What are his years?
1160 to 1220.
No. So the most up to date scholarship at the moment is 1138 to 1204. Yeah, something like that. Okay, fine.
Did he hop past with never lived at the same time as the Ramban? Never lived at the same time.
No, correct.
They miss each other, right?
What? Yes, and they lived in different countries, anyways. Right. I mean, the Rambam is born in Spain, but first of all, Muslim Spain, not Christian Spain. Right. The Ramban is in Christian Spain. And it wasn't really the same country then. And he's chased out. Anyways, but Amalhead, so. Okay. And the Rambam writes a code known as Mishnah Torah. Okay. 14 volumes. Right, where he writes Halach. Okay. That's one of our major codes of Halacha. Before him, you have the Riff. Riff is called Fasi, Fez, Morocco. Right, who writes not really a code, but a halachic summary of the Gemara. The Rambam is heavily influenced by the Riff. Right, the Rush writes a halachic summary/code on the Riff. He starts off in Ashkenaz, then he moves over to Spain. But his son writes a proper code, Rabbi Yaakov Baal Haturim, right? Rabbi Yaakov, the author of the Torah, the son of the Rush, right? He's writing in Spain already, but he has tremendous amount of Ashkenazi customs because his father, Rabbeinu Asher, starts off in Germany and therefore has the German traditions from there. So those are recorded in the Torah. Well, what do you think? Let's see if you know. Did you read a book on the Torah?
No.
So how do you figure it out? That's one way. What's another way?
Look it up on Google.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. Yes, you Google it.
Okay.
You can Google it, and then you will remember it. Okay, but if you don't have your phones, it's good, because we don't want you to have your phones. But if someone already has their phones, then I would say, but he's okay. Is there a way to turn the air on this room?
The remote right behind you.
Oh, okay.
What's the name? The tour?
Yes, Yaakov Balaturim, yes. That's right, because his father was Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, good.
1270 to 1640, so after Rambam.
That's correct, and he writes a code with four halakim. What are the four halakim of the tour? Arachayim, which deals with daily living, holidays, Shabbat, bracha, things like that, tefillah, good.
Ebenezer.
Which is? Ebenezer, which is marital law. Yoredeah, which is?
Kashrut
ritual law. And Choshen Mishpat, which is? Monetary law. Right, and Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, writing in the 16th century. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef Karo lives in, for the most part, in Tzfat. Right, and he writes a code. He writes a commentary, an encyclopedic commentary on the Torah, known as
Sage.
And then he writes a summary of that, a code, which becomes known as Shulchan Aruch. Right, and then Moshe Israelis writes a commentary on that, right, known as Moshe Israelis, i.e. the Ramah, writes the Mappa.
Why would there be two Shulchan Aruch?
It's basically
most
the same, and he just writes a little comment saying.
He writes comments on, yeah. Yechiel Michel Epstein in the late 18th, early 19th, late 19th, early 20th century. 800 or 19th, what?
Like way later than Shulchan Aruch.
Yes. Like Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan are both late 19th, early 20th century.
Aruch HaShulchan is also a commentary on
Shulchan Aruch. So Mishnah Berurah is a commentary only on Aruch HaYim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes a commentary on all four HaShulchan Aruch, right, but his essays. Right. He doesn't write a commentary like that. He writes like an essay where he takes you through his thought process from the Gemara through the postgame to his psak. Unlike Mishnah Berurah, which writes like a commentary, he doesn't do that.
What's the one that we don't know who read it? Who wrote it, but he's from Barcelona?
Sefer HaChinuch?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any magic insight in who wrote it. Okay, good. So the Torah writes as follows. Arvit. Nichnasin lebeit haKnesset v'korin kriyat shema v'erchotah. Right, you come in from Ma'ariv and Rosh Hashanah. You say, right, say Kriyat Shema, say the bracha b'chot min uprosim v'tvalin shever brachot shalosh rishonu v'shalosh rechonu k'dusha yom b'emtzah. Right, three brachot at the beginning, three at the end, one in the middle. K'mo b'shar mo'ado, like every other chag, right? We say the normal first three, the last three, and then b'kadesh, whatever. B'shlishi, b'chot min, b'chot min b'shlishi ha-melech ha-kadosh. But in the third bracha, you end the bracha ha-melech ha-kadosh. Where'd he get that crazy idea? Like the Gemara says. Amar Rav Chanina, Sava, Mishmei D'Rav, Kol HaShem V'Pan HaKel HaKadosh, Melech HaTzak HaMishpat, Chutz Mesram Shevein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Shomer Melech HaKadosh Melech HaMishpat. Rilozer Amar Shari Mei Tshuva, Im Amar, HaKel HaKadosh Melech HaTzak HaMishpat, Yotza. Vasikna, my Havi Allah, Rav Yosef Amar HaKel HaKadosh Melech HaTzak HaMishpat, Rab Amar Melech HaKadosh Melech HaMishpat. Right, okay. Right, that's all a quote of the Gemara. And now he says, now, what is the machloket between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim? So he says, remember, we said there are two theoretical reads of Rabbi Lazar. When he says, that you say, HaKel HaKadosh HaMelech HaTzedakah HaMishpat, what are the two ways of reading it? Either he doesn't think you should change at all lechatchila, or you should, but b'dieved, you don't have to go back for either. And if he says you don't have to go back for either, then what is the Tanna Kamma saying? You should go back for both, right? So the tours, which way does he understand it? The Israelites are saying you should not change or you don't have to change post facto. He says in one word or two words, ubidi avad plige. He's only arguing post facto, meaning what? Lichatchila, everyone agrees you should change both. But Israelites says, bidi avad, you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei for Either. For either. For either.
It's about repeating, not changing.
Right. Meaning, lechatchila, b'di'avad pligi, min amar Elazar yatsa. Sorry. This is Rabbi Elazar. You're right. That Rabbi Elazar is holding that for b'di'avad, you don't have to go back for what? So according to him, Rabbi Elazar holds, lechatchila should change both. B'di'avad, you only don't go back for one. Which one? That's right. Hamelech HaKadosh HaKel HaKadosh. Michal did the Rabbah afilu b'di'avad lo yatsa, which implies that according to Rabbah, you have to go back for both. Right? V'hilchita ki Rabbah. Hilchach lo yatsa v'tzarech lachzor. Hilchach b'kel HaKadosh im ta'abo chozul rosh k'dila el d'sholosh rishonot chashuvot k'echad. Okay? Which is going to be so on Shulchan Aruch. That therefore, since we pass in like Rabba, you go back for both. And what does that mean practically? That for Akel HaKadosh, you go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, and for Amel HaMishpat, if you haven't finished Shemoneh Esrei, you go back to Amel, you don't go back to Hashiva Shoftenu, and otherwise you repeat Shemoneh Esrei. The Rav Yah katav, and the Rav Yah says the lo pligi ella lichatchila. He says no. He's arguing about whether lichatchila, meaning when he says you say Hakol Hakadosh, he's saying you should not say Hamelech Hakadosh. Aval b'di avad l'kulei alma ein achozer, and therefore according to him, what's the machloket? The Tanakhama says you should say Hamelech Hakadosh, but b'di avad. You don't have to. And Rabba says, Rabbi Elazar says, that even lechatchila, you don't have to go back for HaMelech HaKadosh. Chen kadav ha-ra'ivid. V'arambam v'arif katav shechozer. But the Rambam and the Rif say you do go back. So now he gives you two live positions. What's his primary position? That everyone should go back. Right, the Rambam. He holds like the Rambam. A Rambam Rif Katav Shechozer. Right? That in the Gemara, when Rabbi Elazar says don't go back, that's only Bidyavad. Right? Right? But we don't even paskin like that. We reject it. You have to go back for both. And he quotes the Rav Yah, who says that for Amelech HaMishpat, presumably you go back. For Akel HaKadosh, there's a machloke, whether it's Lechatchila or not. And we paskin. Right, so maybe Paskin like Rabba, right? So which maybe holds that lechatchila. Sorry, that Rabbi Elazar holds lechatchila. You don't even change, which means that Rabba holds lechatchila. You do change, but you don't buy a melech hakadosh. But by a melech hamishpat, it sounds like
you have.
You either have to, or maybe, right? This is all lechatchila. But so far, the positions we have are probably according to the Rambam, whatever, you go back for everything. According to the Rav Yah, you don't, at least for. Right, for Amalek HaKadosh. But again, do we have any position who says what the Rama says? If anything, it's the opposite. Either you don't go back at all, you go back for both, or if you only go back for one, it's Amalek HaMishpat. Right? Beit Yosef. Good, so this is, this is a nice little sugya. I started with this last year also, because, right, I want to show you what it means to learn halacha, right? The way it is to learn halacha is not perhaps the way you might have learned. Some of you, I don't know, some of you maybe had a good halacha education, but often the way you probably learned halacha was someone sat there and he read out of Mishneh Berurah, Shulchan Chayadam.
This thing called a lav.
You had what?
A lav book. You ever heard?
A what? A lav book?
It's a lav.
Like yeah. Nose?
No, listen, it has, okay, the topic, and then it brings all sources, like everything to you. It starts with the Gemara, Mishnah.
Okay.
And then expand.
Okay, good. So that's how you should learn halacha, right? It's from the sources, right?
Yeah, but we didn't learn.
He's
much better than me at learning the sources, you know?
Good. So I'm going to tell you something now. Okay, this is a very important piece of advice I got when I was in yeshiva. I'm not telling this for psak, but I'm telling this for learning. Don't trust anyone. Don't trust.
That's just a make-up opinion. I don't trust. Just a make-up opinion.
Don't trust anyone. I remember when I was in Shir, Moshe Lichtenstein said, right? He quoted a Tosfot. Tosfot quotes a Gemara, and his first rule was, don't trust anyone. I don't care if it's Tosfot. If Tosfot tells you the Gemara says something, what do?
I don't trust.
Look it up. Right? Look it.
The Gemara. They said don't trust anybody. I forgot there was a Gemara.
What about Rambam?
Don't trust anyone. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. Yes, I trust God. If God speaks to me, it hasn't happened yet, okay? I'll let you know. I'll let you know, okay? What? I don't know. I don't know what the experience of prophecy is like.
I have a question. If Moshe Rabbeinu, if you pick up a letter and the answer says, "Dear God, I love you," it was all a prank. Signed, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Gotcha. That would be kind of funny.
And you know, it's autographed. It's from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Really? Because I know what Moshe Rabbeinu's autograph looks like.
But it's authenticated, okay?
It's authenticated.
Just to say for the scenario. Your whole life has been a waste. Are you still going to keep the mitzvah? Like, what are you going
to do? I'm going to keep the mitzvah if it was all fake. But you're the level of evidence that it would take to undermine my belief in Torah would be...
Okay, but you, it's from Moshe Rabbeinu.
How do you just promote Moshe Rabbeinu? You just asserted that you have a letter.
Whatever. Brahman came out of the sky and said, "I'm the real God, guys. Switch to Hinduism." Then what do? You switch to Hinduism, I guess.
But whatever.
No, if he came out of the sky, what do? And everybody saw
it. Keep on doing it, even like you, Moshe Rabbeinu.
The level of evidence that would have to come to undermine my belief in revelation and Torah would be, well, one that would undermine my belief in it, which is quite hard, right? A letter
from Moshe Rabbeinu.
I could write you a letter and sign it, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, but I said it's authenticated. You know it's from Moshe, of course.
How am I supposed to sound from Moshe Rabbeinu? This is a very bizarre case. You just posited that I got a
case. It's not going to happen.
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a letter. He wrote a letter. You know.
It's a signed letter from Moshe with a box with circular tone.
Oh my God.
Look, I did have a professor once in YU who said that if, you know, which is, I guess, the equivalent of yours, that if someone showed him four documents that perfectly matched up with the documentary hypothesis of P and E and J and E, and each one was signed and authenticated back to, you know, the time of whatever, of Tanakh. So, some, you know, he said he would at that moment turn to Shemayim and say, "God, why are you testing me?" Right? And then continue being from. So, lech nida, I don't know. I don't know. If I am ever tested in the exact precise way that you are, right, that you are positing.
That... I'm asking that. That's what Rabbi Ginsburg asked me that.
The point is, though, that it's not going to happen because Judaism is the right religion.
Okay. How about I put it this way, okay? I was once asked by a friend of mine when I was about your age, and he said to me, if you disprove Judaism, okay, would you still follow it? And I said to him, no, I wouldn't. And he said, wait a second, but doesn't that show you don't really believe? And I said, no, on the contrary. If I said that I would follow Judaism, even if it was disproved, whatever disproved means, right, which is essentially what you're asking, whatever would count as a disproof, right? Right? So then that would show that I don't believe that Judaism is true. I have a blind faith in Judaism that isn't contingent on its truth claims, right? Because if I'm telling you that even if you disproved it, I would still follow it, that means that I'm telling you that I'm not following because I think it's true. I'm following because I'm following it. Right?
Yeah.
My belief isn't such that, right, when I say I believe in the Torah, it's not a belief which means that I am committed to this whether or not it's true. I'm committed to it because I believe it's true. So yes, you could come up with the evidence that would, whatever that would take to disprove Judaism, I wouldn't keep it. Part of my faith is that I don't think that'll ever happen because I actually believe it's true, right? But that's a, l'dati, a stronger faith, right? Meaning if I say I firmly believe something, even though it's falsifiable, right? This is a famous claim by Karl Popper. Okay, I know we're going. I know this is halacha, not philosophy, but if you will indulge me for a minute, sure. Karl Popper. What did Karl Popper? What is Karl Popper famous for? Okay, so one of the things that Karl Popper is famous for, he was a philosopher of science, among other things. Right, was that according to him, a scientific claim, what distinguishes a scientific claim from a non-scientific claim is whether it is subject to falsification. Right, because he says every scientific hypothesis, and therefore he says, he argues that you can't ever prove anything. He says what makes something scientific is that it's theoretically falsifiable, and we're not trying to directly prove something. A strong scientific claim is a claim that you've attempted to potentially falsify and you failed to falsify. But something which is impervious to falsification is not a scientific claim Because what it means to be scientific is to be, in theory, falsifiable. Right, but with the potential of falsification, if it can't be falsified, it's believing in the likelihood, but...
No, gravity's true.
Can I give you an example? Sure, right? If I posit, right, if I posit that something, right, is... right, if I say that's what's making this marker blue, okay, is a string of invisible goblins, okay, and the so that their only purpose in life is to make this marker blue, okay, but they're invisible and can never be detected. There's literally no way to detect them. Definitionally, I am positing. And those goblins are in turn given the power to turn this blue by very powerful invisible monsters whose only power is to empower the goblins to make this blue, but are also completely undetectable. Right? That claim, true or false, is not a scientific claim. Because I have posited that that causation is undetectable by definition. And therefore, it is by definition not falsifiable. And therefore, it may be true, but it's not a scientific claim. Science is, right?
You need a good definition.
Whereas anything which is falsifiable, right, is a scientific claim. It doesn't mean it's right. It's a scientific claim.
You have a theory.
I'm sure, and I'm sure Roy Ginsburg has at some point, right? Popper was very famous about this.
The sun rises every day, which is we can't prove it's always true until the day that...
Correct, right? So the problem of induction is a good example, right? Where there's a famous problem in philosophy called the problem of induction, right? Which is, at a purely logical level, there is no reason to believe that that which was true today will be true tomorrow, right? What? Why? What do you mean? According to current science... We know that eventually the sun will
explode
and end, right? So we know.
We don't know.
So what? We don't know. Fine. We don't know. We know that many stars have done that, right? Therefore, if I asked you, why is the sun going to rise tomorrow? And you'll say, well, because it rose today, right? And it rose the day before. I'll tell you, okay, but there were many stars that rose for many, 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 many millions of years, as far as we know, right?
Well, we know a few billion years before.
Okay, I'll leave the sun one because big ball guys. Okay, I'll give you an easier example, okay? If I show up every day for yeshiva, okay, right? Can you say with absolute certainty that I'm going to be in yeshiva tomorrow? No, because you know that, okay, so I've been in yeshiva. One second. You understand that induction is not great, right? Because induction says that I draw a conclusion based on a generalization of the past to the future. But there can always be something which changes, right? And again, yes, the current scientific belief is the sun will keep rising until it doesn't, right? So maybe for millions of years, maybe for billions of years, you will be correct every time you say the sun will rise tomorrow as it did today. But at some point, you'll be wrong. So why is it then I'm justified in saying what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, you say, well, it's always done that. But so what? Just because it did tomorrow, did it yesterday, why should it do it tomorrow? Right? Induction is very problematic because it's not, right? It's not 100%, right? So for some philosophers, this is a big problem. For proper, it's not per se because it's a scientific claim. It's a claim. It's subject to falsification. I'm not claiming that I know it with absolute certainty. I'm claiming that it's strong and it's subject to falsification. Each day that it isn't falsified, it is strengthened. That doesn't mean it's true 100%. Doesn't mean for sure, right? And he said, right, that's why, like Newton. Newton made scientific claims, right? How do I know they're scientific claims? Right. Well, eventually they were falsified, right, by Einstein. Meaning he made a claim which was scientific. He made a claim about the world. It made predictions. Until it was falsified, it was strong. It turned out not to be right, right? But it's a scientific claim because it's subject to falsification, and it gets stronger the more you try to falsify it and you can't. You never get to certainty, right? He didn't believe that science was about getting to certainty.
Wait, gravity not certain?
What?
Not the way.
Yeah, you can say we're in a simulation. You can do whatever weird skeptical thing you want to come up with.
On a more
celestial scale, you know, and then we discover it's a planet's gravity.
If I wanted to get philosophy, then I would get philosophy.
Like, okay, wait, you know? But maybe not, because it's how it works on a space-time level.
It's how kind of that is.
Oh, sure.
Philosophy is philosophy.
It took like 2 years of me being at McNuff for people to know I knew philosophy. People were like, oh, no, Roy Ginsberg knows philosophy. Right? Roy Ziering does halacha. What? I just wasn't teaching it. People were like, oh, you don't know philosophy. I'm like, I'm the only person here with formal training in philosophy.
Wait.
My undergraduate and master's are in philosophy. What are you talking about?
Right?
Philosophy. What?
Philosophy is philosophy.
No, I mean...
I feel like it could be like the Kano and Zero of our philosophy of human beings.
Okay, sure. Now we're getting back into the Greek. We're going far afield here. Okay, we're going to continue. Let's get back to the halacha. Point is, right, to look at Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef quotes the Gemara. Right? And then he quotes very, right, simply, and he says, he quotes the... Rush. He quotes the Loker Avya, the Ravya. Shibers de lechatchila b'ligi aval b'diavad l'v'yakol yatsa de lechatchila b'diavad. Right? That according to the Ravya, you don't go back, presumably, for either. Right? But we pass to Rav Ularava the Kaiman Gavadil lo yatsa zarech lach zarech king of the Varif and the Rambam. Now he says, "Well, Inyan Halacha." Skip down 3 lines. Inyan Halacha, Mashkata Chivan Sharif Aram Barosh Maskim and Biyavav Namel Yotza Achinaktin. And since the position of the Rambam and the Rosh is that even Bidiyaved you're not Yotze, that's what we paskin. Vamelech Hamishpat Perish Rashi Kimo Melech Hamishpat.
Melech Hamishpat is like the Melech Hamishpat.
Kimo Nosei Aron Abrit. Kimo Aron Abrit. No. So now he says, what? Now he has a question, right? An implicit question, right. Which is, we're like 5 lines down in the second paragraph of the Beit Yosef, right? And he says, okay, here's the question.
Right,
why is it, so I understand that there's a radical difference between Amelech HaKadosh and Amelech HaMishpat, between Akel HaKadosh and Amelech HaKadosh. But the question you have to deal with is, well, why is Amelech HaMishpat so different from Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat? Because again, according to the Rambam, the Rif, you have to repeat, but why do you have to repeat? Right? We all grew up with the Rama. Well, they're both is the word melech. So what does the Beit Yosef say? He says, no. He makes a grammatical point. Melech hamishpat kimo nosei aron habrit. It's a different grammatical construct. Right? What is melech hamishpat?
The king
of justice. What is melech leitzadaka hamishpat? Who loves justice? Those aren't the same thing. Right? Rabbeinu Manoach says, yeah. The Melech Oev Tzakol Mishpat Masha Yishit Naheg Im Biruav B'Tzedek U'Mishpat. Melech Oev Tzakol Mishpat means the king who acts with his creations with justice and righteousness. Aval HaMelech HaMishpat Ratzal Omar Shehu Yitparach Shofet HaOlam. He is the king of justice, meaning he's judge. Or, even more radically, Inami Shehu Atzmohu HaMishpat. Either he is justice, either he says Melech HaMishpat means one of two things. The just king, or the king who is the apotheosis of justice, right? Who is justice, which is very different grammatically, theologically, than Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Kamo Shana Rim, Hu HaChokma. Just like we say, God is wisdom, right? Hu HaYodea, Hu HaYodea, Hu HaDea. Hamad She'ein Lanu Lomar Chacham U'Mevin, Shnirei Shu Koneh HaChokma, Vabina Machar, right? The im whom is Tupac, and if you're not sure, so then go back also. Okay. Right? So now Beit Yosef gives you the summary from the Rishonim. Right? I gave you if you didn't believe me, because remember I told you don't believe anything. So look at 7, you can see that that's Rashi. Exactly as I quoted it. But according to him, what does he say? He gives you the reason. 2, right, why you should go back for both, unless you say, you're saying melech, lest you think like that. He says, no, these are two completely different grammatical contrasts with different meanings, right? Now, one complicating factor, however, is that if you look at the Rush, and this is quoted in the Beit Yosef in 6, he says that there was another Girsa And the other Girsa was that all year long, they didn't say HaMelech Leitzakom Mishpat, but they said El Leitzakom Mishpat. Now, if that's the case, it's possible, right, that what? That the reason that we don't repeat, in theory, is because since we already have that Girsa, but again, he doesn't say that explicitly, but he quotes this, right, as that being the Girsa. Now, let's try one more sheet for now. Let's see. Look at Tosfot. Tosfot in 8. V'hilchata kavate derabba. V'ditzarech lachtom HaMelech HaKadosh v'HaMelech HaMishpat v'imlo marmer machzirnoto. Now Tosfot goes farther. Tosfot says you go back for both. Now Tosfot goes even farther because what did we all grow up with? You go back for Melech HaKadosh, not for Melech HaMishpat. That's what we're analyzing. But which one do you definitely not go back for? The other four. Right? Zachreinu l'chaim, Yichamocha, because those are Gaonic additions. Tosfot doesn't believe that either. V'chein zachreinu michamocha v'ktov l'chaim v'sev r'chaim machziru natom l'omar. Tosfot paskins that all six, you repeat Shemoneh Esrei. No, we don't. Tosfot, we don't. The other four, you don't. We'll see. The other four, we don't paskin back. The other both. And what's his reasoning? Because anyone who changes from that which the Chum set up, ain't no Yotzei de Chovato. He's not Yotzei. V'kachazak Rabbeinu Yehuda. And that's Rabbeinu Yehuda Paskins. Im Safik lo, im Amar, im lo, Amar Machzir Noto. Yerushalmi, right? Because any change in Tefillah. Now, according to Tosfot, right, what does Tosfot say? On everything, right? Tosfot just says, any change in Tefillah that you're supposed to make, if you don't say it properly, you got to go back. Right? So that's including the Gaonic changes. So for sure, both of the brachot. Now, at the end, he notes that Rabbi Nochanan al Kotav, the Ein Machzir Notom, they call Otan Varm, the Lopazak, the Sefer, the Feirush. Maybe Raya Lidvar. Rabbi Nochanan says, no, no, no. The other four, you don't go back because those are Gaonic. Those are not the Talmudic additions. But Tosfot doesn't even raise the possibility that anybody ever held that you don't go back for both. There's no such position. If you look at the Rashba in 9, he says, "Kol hashana kula mitpala adam akel hakadosh v'olav hamishpat. Chutz m'rashan v'yam mikram mishpala na melech hakadosh v'melech hamishpat. V'rabi Lezer omer afilo omer akel hakadosh yatsa. Yesh lefarech." He said there's different ways of understanding the Gemara. Yesh lefarech v'lachat chila pligi. Some say that the Shita and the Gemara are only arguing the level of lachat chila. The Rav savar the lachat chila tzarech lomar HaMelech HaKadosh. Some say that Rav thinks that L'chadchila you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat. Rav also says that HaMelech HaMishpat Tzarech Lomar L'chadchila V'HaMelech HaKadosh Polik. Right, so one possibility is that Rav is saying L'chadchila you change both. Rav also thinks L'chadchila you say HaMelech HaMishpat. But L'chadchila he holds Yachol Omer HaKadosh. Meaning that you can say either. Right, so for HaMelech HaKadosh, you could say either. For HaMelech HaMishpat, you lechatchila should say HaMelech HaMishpat. V'hadinakat yatsa. So what does yatsa mean? Yatsa normally means yotze. He says lav dafka. That's lav dafka. It means that it's good. Not like b'diavet lechatchila. V'lomer derav palagalei. So what is Rav arguing about? Savar delo yatsa. That you're not yotze with either change. Elam yishum your laws are matir. Bein b'achi, bein b'achi. Right? So Rabbi Lazar allows either one. Lo nicha leleminka v'lazar amar akel hakadosh demasha davka chivilo melech v'ha dam rinan my havi Allah. So then what's the conclusion? Amar Rabbi Yosef hakel hakadosh melech v'tzakom mishpat rab amar melech hakadosh melech v'mishpat rab lomar desatchila tzarech lomar chein ha lo amar ein machzir noto. And he says, but according to this, if Rav is only saying, if they're arguing on the level of chatchila, then how would we paskin that lechatchila you change both, but b'dieved you don't repeat for either, right? That the whole thing is only lechatchila. He says it doesn't sound that way. Probably what it means is b'diavad pligi, and therefore we paskin you should go back for both, which means that in the Rishonim, what possessions were live? Either the first day in the Rajba, you don't go back for either. The Rambam, the Rosh, majority, Rajva, majority of Rishonim is you go back for both. One sheet in the Gemara is you go back for HaMelech HaMishpat, but not for HaMelech HaKadosh. And then some interpretation that maybe the Gemara is arguing L'chatchila. And lest you think that you don't go back for
Hamelech. Sorry, lest you think that you shouldn't go back to Hamelech HaMishpat because you have the word Melech. Rashi, Rabbi Noach, come and say no. Hamelech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat. Hamelech HaMishpat means something completely different. Hamelech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat means the king who likes justice, and Hamelech HaMishpat either means the king of justice or justice instantiated, right? And therefore, it's fundamentally different. So, if I asked you to paskin, what is the simple psak?
You should go back
for both, and maybe you paskin with Rashi. You don't go back for either. Does anyone paskin like no one paskin like this? And I gave you a bunch of sources, right? I gave you the Riff. Right, the Riff says this. The Ramban says this.
Well, it was pretty long though.
Good. So we're gonna stop for now. So you, if you want, next time you can read the Mulchamot, but make sure for the next time, so we finish it before Rosh Hashanah, the source of the Rama is 12. Is Rabbeinu Yonah? Yeah, very good. Is Rabbeinu Yonah? And what I want you to do is I want you to see Rabbeinu Yonah. I want you to figure out what Rabbeinu Yonah says, and then I want you to trace it lahalacha and figure out, guys, whether you think, guys. Now, I know what you were all taught, but I want you to figure out if I ask you right now, not theoretically, how would you paskin?
Like Rashba, don't go back.
Yeah, I'd be Mikkel.
I trust Rashba.
Yeah. I want you to justify it in the sugya. I want you to. But we'll do that next time, okay? Hold on to these sources, okay?